All right, let me quickly go into the Word of God this morning. I want to talk about receiving a miracle. There are miracles that have already happened this morning. Are you glad about that? Will you put your hands together to celebrate God? It may look simple, but it's already profound. God has moved even beyond some of the calls that we made this morning. And maybe we'll still make one or two calls at the end. But believe me, God has already moved. And you already have a miracle. But if you still want a miracle, I will show you how God of miracles will give you one this morning to the glory of his name in Jesus' name. I want to take for a text this morning what I've been reading for a little bit now, John chapter 1. Because we have been looking at the ministry of life, understanding the fact that being part of Jesus, giving your life to Christ, is actually receiving the life of Christ. Now, how does that ministry of the life that you have received, how does that ministry unfold? We have been walking through it since the beginning of the month. And inside that life, it's also miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders are a normal or regular consequence of your decision to follow this life and to be part of this life. John chapter 1, I'll read a few verses and we'll run this morning. John chapter 1, I'll read from verse 1 to 5, then I'll read 12 to 16. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's jump to verse 12. Actually, should we start from 11? Well, let's just do 12. We can see what 11 is. So let's go to 12. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And verse 16 says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I want us to read that together. Let's do it together. That verse 16. One to go. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Father, let the ministry of your word in our hearts this morning be blessed. Lord, speak through me to your people, and let there be light. Let your life flow, and let there be miracles. In the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say believe it, amen. There are a few things you need to know about God. Some of them are apparent, but they need reminding or reminders. There are a few things you need to know about God. And you can't miss this if you have been any minute around God one way or the other. One of the first things to know about God is God loves you. Can somebody say that? Say, God loves me. Now, most people, especially when you read John chapter 3, verse 16, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the way many people read that scripture is that God loves the world. They don't understand that world, the reason there is the world is because there is the you. So, more importantly, it's not so much of the numbers, it is the particular you that God loves. Because so many people, it's very easy for them to say God loves the world, but for them, they do not know that God loves them. Or they know that God loves them, and sometimes the devil comes to lie to them that if God loves you, why is this so and so happening? So because of events of life, people come to this place where they forget the fact that God loves them. And ladies and gentlemen, if the one that died for you while you were yet sinners. If he died for you when you were sinner, so now that you have received his life, don't you think that love will find expression more and more? That is why the Bible, speaking in 1 John chapter 4 and 16, says that we have known and we have believed the Lord, that the love that God has for us. So it is not only one thing that for God to love me, I need to begin to invest and know that God loves me. When I wake up in the morning, I need to know that God loves me. When I am going through difficult situations, I need to know that God loves me. When somebody said they don't love me again, I need to remember that God loves me. If my mother and father forsake me, God will not forsake me. Because ladies and gentlemen, there are so many times in a man's life that the people you thought will be there for you, they will not be there for you. The human beings that you thought were going to stand with you, they will not stand with you. The family members, you know, people will say family will always be there. There are days that family will not be there. And it's not necessarily because they are bad or good, it's just because they are human. And so you and I need to understand that the basis of our relationship with God is that God is a God who loves. And not just that he loves me. I need to look at situation and believe that God loves me. In fact, I don't define situations, I don't define the love of God by what I'm seeing. Is that not what 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says? It says we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. The reason why we are not walking by sight is that sight can be deceptive. We just have to believe that God loves us. We have to believe it. You have to let that settle in your mind. There are days that don't look like it. There are days that it seems, God, where is your face? It seems like, God, you have abandoned me. You are like Jesus on the cross. And you are saying, Father, why have you forsaken me? But the truth is that he has not forsaken you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So you need to understand that the first thing about God is that God is a loving God. Now, because God is a loving God, he's also a giving God. The resultant effect of a lover is that a lover is a giver. A giver may not love, but a lover will always give. A giver may not love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you find somebody that loves, if somebody is genuinely in love with you, the person will give to you. Maybe it's for somebody, that's a litmus test. Who should I marry? If that guy cannot give you now, he will not give you later. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes you say, you meet people, you say, my husband is stingy. Did he just become stingy? It used to be like that, but now it's just that now you have just woken up to the reality. Because a lover that does not give is not a lover. Every time you find love, you find giving. In fact, the more the love, or the more you are giving to the love, the more you, whatever you give does not matter to you. Is that not what the Bible says in that John chapter 3 and verse 16 again? That for God so loved the world, and God so gave. Because the magnitude of the love showed the magnitude of the giving. You could see that he loved us so much, he did not give us an angel. He did not, you know, God could have given us another thing or another person, but he gave us himself. So that means that the height of your love, or the height of the love of God, shows in the thing that God was able to give. So when I see what you are able to give, I can tell what you love. I can tell where your heart is. Is that not what scripture says? It says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. That means if your heart is into something, if you love something, your treasure will always follow where your heart is. So the heart of God is on us. The heart of God is that he loves you and I, and then he's a giver. If you read James chapter 1 and 17, the Bible says, all good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of life. So that means that God, because he's a lover, is a giver, and he gives all good things. All good things come from above. So you need to settle that in your mind, that good things come from God. And because God loves me, he gives to me. So giving is a part of what God does. In fact, in James chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible was speaking to us there. He said that when we lack things, we should ask God. He was talking about wisdom there, but there is nothing that we lack that we cannot ask God. Because the Bible said God gives how? Liberally. God gives lavishly.
you know, if you understand, for example, in Luke chapter 15, when the Bible was talking about the story of the prodigal son, many people think the word prodigal is a bad word. The word prodigal is not a bad word. The prodigal just means lavish. And the most prodigal person in that story was not the boy that left the house. It was the father that would not stop giving. The boy that left the house and the boy that did not leave the house, both of them were prodigal. One was prodigal outside of the house, one was prodigal inside the house. And the father was the most prodigal of them all. And so sometimes I call that story the story of the prodigals. So it's not just the prodigal son, it's also the prodigal father. And I want to prove to you, and I want to tell you this morning, that your father, the God of the universe, that the one that loves you, is a prodigal son. Because when you read that James chapter 1 verse 5, and the Bible says God wants to give you liberally, it means that God wants to give you in plenty. Have you not noticed the nature? There are some things that you wonder, why do we have many of these? God is trying to tell you something, that where I am, there is abundance. From me, it is abundance. Remember that we read just from John chapter 1 and 16. It says, of his fullness, we have received grace for grace. One translation says, we have received grace on top of grace. It's as if we have not finished one grace, they gave us another one. I don't know if you have been there before. When you have not finished one, another comes in. When you have not exhausted the current level, they added another one to you. I am telling you this morning, the God that you serve, he doesn't have the economic recessions that you see in the nations. This, our God, is a God of abundance. And that abundance is in your favor. So God loves me and God wants to give to me. Can somebody say amen to that? So if God is a lover and God is a giver, why are his children like this? What is the disconnect? Why don't we have the miracles? Why don't we have the things that God is able to do? Why is it that it is not showing up? There are many reasons, but one principal reason is that many of his people, they don't know how to receive. They don't know how to take what God has given. What God has made available, they don't know how to appropriate it. So the issue is not the distribution or the release from God's side. The issue is the acceptance or the taking on man's side. That's why the Bible was speaking in Matthew chapter 11 and 12. It says that right from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent are taking it or are receiving it by force. That means that it is available, but there are certain people that take it. There are certain people that receive it. So this morning, I want to settle down how to receive a miracle. How to receive. The best thing you can be in this kingdom is to be a receiver. If you don't know how to receive, even if you give to God, maybe there will be opportunities and you will not receive. The reason why many people think some of these things that we talk about in church does not work is because they practice the going outside. They don't know how to practice the receiving it, the welcoming it in. And so this morning, I want to show you from scripture that God has made us receivers. And among many other things that he wants us to receive, he wants us to receive miracles. He wants us to receive miracles. You can see all through scriptures that we are receivers. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, when Paul was speaking there, he says, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto me. He says, I want to finish the ministry that I have received. The ministry that I have received. So he's showing us there that you and I are receivers. We are receivers. So every now and then, every day when you wake up in the morning, don't just celebrate what you do. Celebrate what you receive, because we are receiver. You remember that John chapter 1, of his fullness have we all received. So we are receivers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 1, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. And since we have this ministry, let us remember that we have received something. There is something about men and women that can know what they have received. You know, why there was a miracle in Acts chapter 3 was the fact that Peter and John knew they had received something. they knew something that happened to them. There are people listening to me this morning. You have received something, but there is no consciousness that you have received something. And because there is no consciousness of what you have received, you are walking as if there is nothing in you. You are walking as if you do not have anything. But this morning I've come to tell you, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a receiver. And then you have received something. If you acknowledge what you have received, that thing that you acknowledge that you have received, you now begin to increase it. Because the way it works is this: the more you acknowledge it, the more it flows. The more it flows, the more another supply. Because grace is a supply, and grace will come in the direction of demand. And the demand comes when there is an awareness of what is available, and you come to the consciousness that I'm a receiver, and I walk in the fullness of what I've received. So this morning, I'm asking you the question: are you conscious of what is available, and are you receiving what you have been given? It is one thing for God to give. It is one thing for God to so love the world, but it's those that receive Him. You know, God loves the whole world. I mean, I said He loves you individually, but He loves the whole world. But it's not the whole world that is saved. The reason the whole world is not saved is not because God, the love is not enough. It's enough. It's just that some people have received Him. In fact, in that John chapter 1, in verse 11, He said He came unto His own, and His own did not receive Him. The reason why the fullness of what He brought could not benefit them was not because it was not available. They just did not receive Him. And in 2024, there are still people that are not receiving Him. He's still standing at the door. He's knocking, and some people have not received Him. So in this kingdom, we are receiver. That's what Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says. It says, if by the offense of one death came, He said, how much more they who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So there is a receiving part to this thing called our journey or our life in Christ. There is a receiving part to it. And so this morning, I want you to receive miracles. Before we leave this morning, everybody in this room needs to go home with something. I believe when people come to church, they need to be taken away. I don't think the takeaway should not only be the sermon. I think one of the takeaways should be you receive something. You receive something tangible. You take something that will affect Monday to Saturday. The reason for Sunday is that Monday to Saturday will not be mundane, will not be ordinary. There are too many of us. We are just walking normally, but we have an advantage, and we put our advantage on the table. I've shared with you a story here before, where I was in an interview, and then I'd missed everything. I'd failed everything. But I remember I had an advantage. I remember that if I don't have anything to give in the natural, there is a realm that I am connected to, and I can bring it willingly. I can bring it anytime, even into the present. And I told the man right there, I was looking at him, and I told him, excuse me, sir, give me 1 minute. And I bowed down my head. He didn't see me doing anything, but inside of me, I connected to what I have received, and I wanted to make what I have received to find expression. And so when I connected my own resource to the source, I began to download, and I downloaded. It did not look like it. In fact, after I prayed that prayer under my breath, I didn't know if anything had happened, but something had happened. I was now conscious that I had received something. Just like I want you to be conscious after you leave this service. Some people will say, well, if the man of God lays hands on me and I fall, that means I received something. Maybe, but if the man of God even does not lay hands on you, and I laid the word on you, as I'm laying the word on you now, you are receiving something. Something is happening to you, and if you can make demand on what is happening to you, Monday to Saturday will be different. May will not look like April. May will not look like April. Can I prophesy? May will not look like April. Somebody recently said that April was tall. I said May will not look like April, in the name of Jesus. So we are receivers, and God wants us to receive miracles. Let me tell you the truth. This our kingdom cannot only be about words. There will be no difference in our faith and psychology, motivational speaking, without the supernatural. The supernatural is what sets the Christian faith from every other thing. There is the supernatural. There is the supernatural. Our God is the God of miracles. I mean, all through scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you could see that God really called us into a life and to a ministry of miracles. He wanted us to be living on miracles every day. He wanted us to experience miracles every year and there. He wanted us to have the advantage that we are connected to this life. He wanted us to experience the advantage that we have been given grace for grace. In Acts chapter 2 verse 2, 22, Acts chapter 2 verse 22, the Bible says, ye men of Israel, he said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved by God by miracles. Miracles can validate. Miracles can prove an approval seal. There are sometimes when there is insult, don't go and be giving explanations. When there is insult, many of the time what swallows insult is result. What swallows insult is when you bring a superiority of the God that you carry. There are too many of us, we are explaining this Jesus, but God wants us to demonstrate this Jesus. There is a dimension we need to move into in May, where we are not just doing only explanation, but we are doing manifestation, because that is part of this ministry of life that we are in. So miracles are the things he wants us to receive. You see all through scripture. In the case of Stephen in Acts 6 verse 8, the Bible says Stephen was a man full of faith and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Miracles. That's what God wants us to experience. In the Bible, speaking about John, about Paul in Acts chapter 19 and verse 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, sometimes when people read some of those scriptures, they say that is Paul. They say that is Apostle Paul. But do you know that Paul did not see Jesus in the flesh? So you are more like Paul than Peter, right? Peter them can be claiming this, but the late comer become the head cornerstone, became the head cornerstone. The late comer began to outdo the people that were there physically. So the physical advantage is not something that is your own disadvantage. Because if Paul can show us that he who came late, he who was born out of due season, he who is the chief of sinners, who came late, that persecuted even these people that were on the way, and it became what it became, then that means that you and I have no excuse. The Bible says God did special miracles through the hands of Paul. God wants to do special miracle to your hand. Pastor, but I'm not holding mic. You don't have to hold mic. God can do special miracles through your hands on the computer. God can do special miracles through your hands on the patient. God can do special miracle through your hand raising your children. Who told you that you have to hold a mic? But you can hold a man. You can raise a man. You can raise a lady. Who that lady will bring down kingdom. That lady, that man will bring down people. Systems, that man will rise up and will become a voice in his generation. How do you do that? The Bible is saying here, God can do special miracles through people's hands. God can touch your hands. God can hold your hands, and your hands will begin to perform miracles. I speak over everyone listening to me this morning that in the name of Jesus, from here on, special miracles will happen through your hands, at work, at home, in the name of Jesus. Now the question is this: what is a miracle? Let me just quickly define it, and then I will say some things about how to position and how to receive a miracle. A miracle is a superimposition of the divine on the natural to bring about supernatural occurrences. Superimposition of the divine, of God. God coming on something, and then that thing begins to walk out of order. That thing begins to behave out of order. Do you know that God can come on you and you will do things that are beyond you? All through scripture, scattered through scripture, there were men in the natural, they were limited. You know, the man Saul the king was a limited man until the Spirit of God came upon him. I believe in 1 Samuel chapter 10. And the Bible said, the man of God told him, Samuel told him, that you shall do as occasion demands. What does that mean? It means that when this power comes on you, this supernatural comes on your natural will no longer be natural. I'm praying for somebody this morning that the supernatural is coming on your natural in the name of Jesus, and you will do supernatural things naturally in the name of Jesus. So a miracle is the superimposition of the divine or the supernatural on the natural to bring about supernatural occurrences. God still want supernatural occurrences, even in our day to day. And let me say this to you, America needs to see the power of God again. America needs to see the God that still touch. These things should not be confined to Africa. And the more we see it, the more we will see it, the more we are bold about it. Because the challenge most of the time is not what that do we have something. We do. We are just timid. We are just not bold. We are just not taking the step. And these meetings are to remind us of our supernatural heritage, that we are not ordinary. We are not normal. We carry something. And the Bible says this treasure is in earthen vessel, but the treasure is there. Don't let the earthen vessel deceive you. The treasure is there. I want you to put your hand on your tummy or your belly and say, I carry something. I am loaded. I am not empty. I say, I carry something. I am loaded. I am not empty. A miracle is a superimposition of the divine on the natural. What is a miracle? A miracle is the suspension of natural laws by God to accomplish his purpose. A miracle is a suspension of natural laws by God to accomplish his purpose. Let me tell you the truth. God is the one that created the natural world, but it's not limited to the natural world. Some of us that live in civilized world like the United States, we have been so used to the natural that sometimes we forget that there is a supernatural. Even in places we need to bring him in, because we are so used to the natural and we want natural things to take its course. If there is a sickness, well, let's just take medicine. Let's just talk to the doctor. And I don't have any problem with the doctor. I take medicine. I mean, when I was a younger boy, you know, I grew up in the house of faith. And the first time I took medicine, I was probably 18 or 19. Because in my house, and my grandfather, if God cannot heal you, go and meet him. That's his own philosophy back in the day. But I don't believe that. I believe you can take medicine. I do, you know. But I also believe that we have a God that can heal. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So I am not living my life on the natural plane alone. Yes, I will do natural things. I will exercise. I will eat good food. I will eat at the right time and all that kind of thing. I mean, we've done all kinds of regimen in my house. And we still will do. So I don't diminish the role of the natural, but I know that I'm not only a man that plays in the natural. I have a supernatural side to me, and I have a supernatural connection. And miracle is when there is a suspension of natural laws, and there can still be suspension of natural laws. Oh, natural laws in law. I remember several years ago, one lawyer said something, and he spoke very verbosely and very, you know, articulately, and said so many things that was not even his business, and was saying about family members. First of all, my mom, later on my wife, you know, two different lawyers, and at the two of them, I said, you people are not God. You cannot just make things up because I'm not a lawyer. In fact, one of them asked me, say, are you a lawyer? I said, I'm not a lawyer, but I know the one that control. I didn't say that, but just to be polite, I just said, I'm not a lawyer. He said, so why are you saying that's possible? Okay, sorry, sir. Do not, I was going to say no vex. No vex is do not vex. So I just excuse myself from him. It's okay, sir. He said, I've been doing this thing since so. I understand. God bless you. But there is somebody that is out of time, and he has been alive since that time. In fact, he's the one that made the natural laws. And God suspended those laws. The man said, it's not possible. My mom has blue passport today. Amen. They said the same thing about my wife too. Several years. Very long story. And you know, my wife was crying a little bit. And later, someone courage and all of that. And I told the man, I said, if you cannot do it, say you can't do it. At this time, I was bolder. Because this is my wife. The other one was my mom. And the guy is like my mom's age and all of that. So I was very polite. But this one, I was like, if you cannot do it, just say you cannot do it. That is not possible. You don't know how to do it. But we will keep looking until we find that person that we believe with us, that we can suspend natural laws and introduce supernatural. If you are hearing me this morning, if they sent you a message, they sent you a report, I don't get the name of the organization that sent you that report. I have come from an higher organization. I have come from a superior organization. I cancel every negative report in the name of Jesus. Both of them have blue passports.
lawyer said it was not possible. In fact, I think when my wife got green card, I sent it to the lawyer. See? Evidence. You know when Dusi sang that song? I will let them know. It's not only people that you are testifying to. It's the insulters. You know, there are some results that you will let them know. You are not trying to pepper them, but you are also trying to let them know that they were wrong. They bet on you. They say you will not be that thing, but God has shown up for you. Your story is not like Joseph. They meant it for evil, but God turned it to good. If you are like me, say amen. A miracle is a suspension of natural laws. God suspends natural laws, and he still does it today. I can tell you stories of how I've escaped accident. It was a suspension of natural laws. I've seen accident before. Ah yeah, the devil is a very bad devil. Oh yeah, I have seen, and God helped suspending natural laws. If you read the story of Peter in Mark chapter 14, 22 downwards, you see Peter walking on water. Men are not supposed to walk on water. Hello? Men are not supposed to walk on water. At the best, they will swim. But walk on water? Abba. No, that's not for men. And God can suspend natural law. Now, let me put a caveat to that. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Can somebody say amen? Because some people, they want God to suspend the law that they have no business asking him to suspend. They will intentionally break the law. Even God is not a lawbreaker. He doesn't intentionally flaunt his own laws, because if he has natural laws here, he will not actively, intentionally, consistently be breaking it. So if you now get into that space where you want to be breaking his own laws, you soon find that law will break you. Amen to Jesus. Because there are some people that are now taking it to the extreme. Pastor told us I should receive miracles. And so tomorrow morning, I'm just going to stand on I-90 and then I will walk through and try to cross over to the other side. And, I know that God is going to suspend me in the air and I will levitate. You may not live to tell the story. So what is enough for the wise? A miracle is the suspension of natural laws by God to accomplish his possible. What's a miracle? A miracle is what you cannot define sometimes, but you cannot deny. What you cannot define, but you cannot deny. I don't want to live my life that my life has explanations and this is 10 steps to how I got there, 20 steps to how I got there. There are some things I want it to just be that. How did it happen? God. There are some things I want people to ask me. How shall these things be? The Holy Ghost. That's what Mary asked. He said, how shall these things be? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. A miracle is when that kind of things happen. When those kind of things happen. When your 1 + 1 does not equal 2. There are some of us, our 1 + 1 is now looking like 10. Our 1 + 1 is going to soon be 100. Our 1 + 1 will be 1,000. On paper, it doesn't make sense, but it makes God. That's what a miracle is. There are too many of us, we want it to make sense. Sometimes it will not make sense. Let it just make God. How did we get to this building? It's not 1 + 1. No. It's not 1 + 1. How are we living this building? It's not 1 + 1. It won't make sense. I can tell you now, the building, if you enter there, you will believe they gave me money from somewhere. But I can tell you now, where is the money coming from? Above, not abroad. Can somebody say amen? Because some people are saying, I heard that you have one famous grandfather. And some people, it's not so. It's not so. It's not that there's no advantage in that lineage, oh. But I'm just telling you, all blessings come from where? Above. So a miracle is when you cannot when you may not be able to define it, but you cannot deny it. You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 16, when the disciples had started manifesting the life of miracles, you know, something happened and, you know, there was this conversation that ensued. And this was the response. He says, what? You know, the Pharisees were concerned and they were thinking, we thought we killed Jesus. We killed one person.
Now we are seeing many Jesuses. What one was doing, many are now doing it. So we have a lot of issues on our hand. And look at the question, the answer they now started, or the explanation they were giving here. He says, what shall we then do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them. And it is evidence to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I put something upon you this morning, if you can receive it, that in the name of Jesus, your life will be an evidence that will not be deniable in the name of Jesus. Notable miracles is the order of the day in your life in the name of Jesus. On that business, on that job, on that marriage, on your children, receive the evidence in the name of Jesus.
A miracle. God wants us to live the life of miracle. And miracles are still possible today. I have listened to some people. They'll tell you, those miracles have gone. They went with the apostles. It's a lie. It's a lie. Some of us can tell you, not just because we have seen it on TV, we have lived it. And not lived it now, from a long time ago. I was born into a miracle. I was born into a miracle. And I've seen miracles. 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 The other day, I was just thinking about it. About how my grandmother, back in those days, the house she was living in fact, then, I don't know how that happens now in Nigeria. Every now and then, Redeemed Christian Church of God builds a church. They'll build a maternity center. And so there was this maternity center near my grandmother's house. And then from her window, she can see them. And sometimes when she sees a woman in labor, and then she's struggling, and she sees that the midwives are a little frantic and a little bit, she'll just go down. And she will not come back without a baby. Never. This woman never went to any school. I don't know how she became a midwife. I do not know. I do not know. Because I know her. She cannot, she does not know, zero English. No medical training. But miracle. Miracle. I mean, she will, there is no baby. She goes there, that baby will come out alive. It doesn't matter how many things they've said, the baby is like this, the umbilical cord, and if they didn't even have all those kind of, so they don't know what's going on. But they just notice that this delivery is not happening. And then she goes there. She brings out the baby. I was thinking about it recently. And I was saying, that's miracles. You can have miracles at work. You can have results that are beyond you. Some of you had the testimony of Deolu the other day, that during NICOS, as busy as NICOS was, and you can, they were really, really busy. In the midst of that, when he couldn't write his thesis, when there was no business, in the middle of busy season, he wrote this thing. He gave it to the supervisor, and the supervisor said, "We are good to go." That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Some of you don't know that miracle can happen with your academics. You have left everything to only your effort. Let me tell you, your effort can only take you so far. There are miracles. You need to be open to it. You need to be open to the miracles that God has for you. You need to be open to the miracles that God has for you. What is a miracle? Let me say this last one as a miracle, and then I'll show you how we can just position ourselves this morning and every other time to receive from God. A miracle is a living, moving, and breathing expression of the power of God. A miracle is a living, is a breathing expression of the power of God. And funny enough, if you're in this room, I am too sure, by God, he has given you a miracle before, because that you are even still alive and breathing today is a miracle. There are some of you, they didn't give you a chance to live as long as you have lived now. Some of you, they counted you out of that particular career that you are now. Some of you, some teacher said you can, I mean, we don't think you can do that kind of course. Some of you, they said that you are going to manage this kind of thing. And then you are here. You are a living and breathing miracle. You know, when the Bible was speaking of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible said Jesus went about doing good. Jesus was a mobile miracle. Jesus, everywhere he went to, you knew that miracle was there. That is what God wants to make you. He wants it to be that if you go to that workplace, miracles there. If you go anywhere, miracles just go with you. I like when Nike was saying it when she was singing here. She said, the scripture says in Mark 16, 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs should be following you. You should be a living, walking, moving miracle. So a miracle is not just an event. A miracle is not just a thing. A miracle can be a person. I know that people go by the name of miracle, but it's not only going by the name of miracle. It's living a life of miracles. Miracles. Believe in it. The reason why I've not seen it is because we are not receiving it. And I will show you from scriptures how we can receive the miracles. How can I receive miracles? Let me begin to round off here. Alif Kabayla. Zenenene Kalabana. How can I receive miracles? The hearing. You need to hear the word and believe the word. Miracles come as a result of hearing and believing the word. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. Blessed is she that believes, for there will be a performance. If you have heard the word, you are hearing the word that I'm speaking now. Believe it in your heart. Take it. Don't explain it away. Don't say the pastor is just trying to talk like some people. No, to receive it. The reason many people excuse themselves from things they're supposed to be experiencing. You make excuse. It didn't happen to me last year. Somebody had talked to me about miracle before. It did not happen. So it may not. No. Don't excuse it. Don't give reasons why it will not work. This is America. If it was in Africa, who told you Africa and America defines what God can do by miracles? Have you not even read just in very recent history of the story of America, where men and women in this nation rose up and they were running healing crusade for days in this country, even in this city? In this Illinois, there's still a city, Zion. Zion. The man that built that city, it was about miracles. The God that did that is not dead. He's still alive. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, Hebrews 13, 8, and today and forever. The God that was doing those things then is still. So hear this word that I'm telling you today and believe it. Don't excuse it. Don't say, well. No, there's no well there. There's no but there. You can be healed right here in this service. In fact, some of you, you don't need me to lay hands on you. What I'm saying is enough. I'm laying these words on you. It's enough to heal you. Arise and be healed. Arise and walk. Arise and be made whole. So you have to hear the word. Hear the word. When you want a miracle in any particular area, find words about it. Hear a man talking to you from the word of God about it, or find scripture that relate to that. Say it to yourself so that you will hear it, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So hear the word. Hear the word. Let the word come in. Let it come in. And so that faith will arise on the inside of you. Hear the word and believe. That's how miracles come. That's how you receive miracle. If you want miracle in any particular area, start hearing the word about that area. That's why we are talking about miracles this morning. Because we want to see miracles. If you don't say it, you may not see it. Anything you want more of, get more word of. Anything you want to see more of, make sure you position yourself around the word more. You remember that we read from John chapter 1 and by verse 14, it says the word became flesh. Every word has the potential to become flesh. It can become tangible. So if I need any tangibility, I find the word. If I need a tangibility in my health, I find the word. If I need a tangibility in my finance, I find the word. Because if I can find the word with God and the word from God, the word with God and the word from God can become flesh. And the Bible says that word will be evident in the neighborhood. They will see it in the neighborhood. There are many results that you and I are looking for. You are looking everywhere, but you have not looked in the word. If you look in the word, if you look in the word. Is that not what Isaiah chapter 34, 16 says? It says, search from this book of the law. It says nonchalant is mate. Most times people think that it's just talking about relationship, but it means that every word of God has its accompanying result. Every word of God can bring his mate. So if I read finances, it can bring his mate. It will not lack his mate. So when I read it, I will believe it and I begin to attract it. Hear the word and believe the word. How do I position and receive miracles? When you hear the word and believe the word, let it now begin to create a strong desire in you. A strong desire in you. And many of the reasons why people have not received from God is they have not really, really desired to receive. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3 says, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, and it will give, and it will direct your path. All right, so God wants you to trust in him to the point where that trust relates and gets into places where you know that this God will not fail me. So when I begin to believe him for this thing, I believe him for that thing, and I strongly desire that that thing will find expression. That's why he said, what things soever you desire when you pray. There needs to be a desire. And that desire needs to be, you need to start from the word. Because if you don't start from the word, you have not delighted yourself in it. And you have to delight in him so that he will give you the desires of your heart. Because it is when you delight in him, when you let the word of God condition your desire, that's when your desire will be in line with his own desires. So, hear the word. And the word will bring, will build a strong desire. When you now hear that word, when it builds a strong desire, then you now begin to ask. Ask. You see that simple word, ask. Most people don't do it. Assumption is not asking. Sometimes when you say, tell people, how is so? It is well. It is an assumption. Oh, they didn't ask. You have not because what? You ask not. And sometimes when you even now ask, you ask amiss because you want to spend it upon your loss. But when you start with the word, your desire is conditioned. And when your desire is conditioned, your asking will now be in line with the word. Because I've said it here, God doesn't necessarily just answer prayers. He answers his own prayers. You have to take his words back to him. Because even in law, a lawyer does not win a case because he wears good suit. He doesn't even win a case if he has baritone voice or not. No, he has to win on the merit of the law. And God in Luke chapter 18 is presented as a judge because he was comparing God to the unrighteous judge. And he says, if an unrighteous judge will listen to a widow, how much more God who will avenge his sins? So God is a judge. And when you come before the judge, you don't bring sentiment there. Some of you take sentiment there. No. You don't take sentiment there. Is God moved by your crying? Yes. But he doesn't act on your crying. Yes. You know that today. God does not act on your crying. He acts on his word. When Jesus wept in John chapter 11, did Lazarus wake up? Hello? You are looking at me as if I'm making that up. When Jesus wept, did Lazarus wake up? It was when he released the word. It was when he released the word. So sometimes we've cried, even in the place of prayer. Sometimes when people are praying, and there is a dimension to cry, expressions and emotions in the place of prayer. Don't get me wrong. But if that's only the thing you do, you don't bring words to God, you are limiting yourself. So this morning I'm saying to you, when you want miracles, you need to hear the word and believe. You need to have a strong desire. You need to ask. And this part is very important. You need to reckon that what you have believed, you have received. Now, you need to reckon that what you have believed, what you have asked, you have received. This part is where many people miss it. When you ask, and you are asking in faith, asking in faith will believe we receive before we see what we believe. If I ask in faith, I believe I receive when I ask, not when I see what I asked. That's where many people make mistakes.
If I'm talking about receiving miracles from God, when you ask, even if there is nothing in the flesh that looks like it, you believe you receive, and then you have. That's what Mark 11 verse 23 says. Mark 11:23. Let's read it. Mark 11:23. What things soever ye ask. Okay. From 23 it says, but assuredly I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. That's a miracle right there. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. Believe you receive them and you will have them. It's not have them, then believe you receive them. So if today we say be healed, believe you are healed. And to show that you are healed, you now live to begin to live like you are healed. You now begin to take faith steps in the direction of your healing. You now begin to take faith steps in the direction of what you have believed you have received. I believe I've received a spouse. I will not now be sorrowing and be wondering, the clock is ticking, the clock is ticking, the clock is... If you are doing that, you are undoing what you have believed. So when you want to receive miracle from God, you have heard the word, you have desired what you want from the word of God, you have asked what you want, then you need to receive it. You need to reckon that it is here. You need to take it as in the now. Even if I don't see the result in the body, even if I don't see the manifestation now, I believe I have received. It's not when I see it that I will say, oh, I see it. Because in that Mark chapter 11, when Jesus told that tree, be dried up, Jesus walked away. It was the disciples that now came and said, excuse me, what you just did? No. And Jesus said, excuse me, if you say the same thing, you will see it. But you have to believe. Jesus believed that immediately he told the tree, be withered. Even though the thing was green, Jesus believed that it had died. And that's the faith of Abraham. That's how Abraham too was. Abraham believed God, even though it was not natural. When Abraham was going to kill Isaac, do you know why Abraham went to kill Isaac? Scripture tells us that he had received him as in a figure. He had received Isaac, that Isaac would be resurrected. That's why Jesus eventually was resurrected, because Abraham was the prototype for what God did at Calvary. Abraham received Isaac back before he slaughtered him. He believed that God would raise him up. So even though he was carrying Isaac as a dead man, he believed that this boy would be resurrected. So when he raised that knife to cut the hair, he was not just going to be a murderer. He was not going to go and meet Sarah and say, excuse me. No, he was not going to do that. He knows who Sarah is. He knows who Sarah is. Sarah that can make you have a child in a way that she wants you to have the child. And when you finish having the child, she will say, I don't want the child again. That is Sarah for you. So you now think Abraham will now, with his old age, will now with both chest go and say, I killed my son. Aye. Sarah will just say, look up, look down. Final. You are done. Sarah will finish him. So he knew he was not going to go and meet Sarah and give excuses. He had received that baby in a figure. This morning, what are you going to receive from God? What do you want God to do to you? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. God still does miracles. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. We're going to sing that song 2 times. It's a miracle working God. And God will still do miracles in this room this morning. Remember that you have heard the word. Now believe that word. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask. And as soon as you ask, believe you receive. And the miracle is yours in the name of Jesus.